D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Today on Truths That Transform, we find America at a turning point.
We are engaged in a great spiritual war. It is a war literally for the soul of America.
What will be the future course of our nation, and what can Christians do about it?
It's a spiritual battle against truth and everything that those who believe in the Word of God stand for.
We go inside the battle for America's soul on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. We are living in perhaps the most difficult year America has seen in at least a generation. The coronavirus pandemic had us locked down. There have been protests and riots in the streets and statues of founding fathers and other historical figures being torn down. In this same Orwellian hour, people are losing their jobs and their public standing for truthfully saying that male and female are biological facts. Our nation is indeed deeply troubled. Dr. D. James Kennedy often noted that America was born out of a Christian revival, what's called the First Great Awakening. It was that revival that unified the 13 colonies. Today, a majority of Americans on both sides of the political aisle are concerned about the direction of the nation. Is there hope for America? Dr. Jerry Newcomb brings us this report.
A group of people tore down the George Washington statue in northeast Portland.
Across the country, mobs are tearing down America's monuments. In the cities of Richmond and St. Paul, Minnesota, they've torn down statues of Christopher Columbus.
In the last few months, historical statues have been torn down all around America. The number one target of statue toppling is Christopher Columbus, without whose voyage in 1492 there would be no America. Critics note that there's a war on America as founded.
To say that America has been nothing but an enemy of the people, an institution for death and destruction, is just fundamentally false.
Well, the revisionists want to change it. It's very evident. They want to do everything because they have a different worldview. Our worldview comes from our Christian heritage, which comes from the Word of God. That's the Christian's worldview. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle against truth and everything that those who believe in the Word of God stand for.
To understand our current battle in this nation, it's important to understand our nation's true history, says noted Christian broadcaster and minister Dr. Richard G. Lee, the author of The Battle for the Soul of America. Dr. Lee points out that several core Judeo-Christian principles undergirded America's founding.
They permeated our nation, the founding documents, and everything else. And in fact, every one of those areas is what the progressives, so-called liberals today, are fighting against, such as the dignity of human life being one, the right to a God-centered education being one, the common decency being one, our personal accountability to God, the work ethic. God says, if you don't work, you don't eat, 2 Thessalonians. So those are principles that have been underneath the founding of our nation and really the maturity of our nation.
One of the ways these biblical principles became revitalized in the colonies was through the spiritual movement known as the Great Awakening.
Well, the Great Awakening occurred it was from 1735 to 1745. The preaching of the gospel in those days had become very lax and very liberal. And so with the falling away came a degradation of society and every other thing. Well, Jonathan Edwards was, we call, the father of the Great Awakening. Edwards preached a message in July of 1741, Sinners in the Hands of the Angry God. and it was called The Message That Never Died.
After the initial sparks from Jonathan Edwards, evangelist George Whitfield from England was able to take the message throughout all 13 colonies.
And Whitfield brought evangelism to America like America had never known. The colonies, prior to Whitfield and the Great Awakening, the colonies didn't like each other. We have 13 individual colonies. They have their own sets of laws, and they have their own governance. And they said that the southern colonies didn't like the northern colonies, and Massachusetts didn't like any of them, because they were sort of isolated on themselves. But when Whitfield came preaching, people would cross the state lines to go to other states to listen to him preach. And as they heard the preaching together, that togetherness, they said, you know, these people are not so bad over here in South Carolina or in Georgia or in Pennsylvania. And so it began to becoming a united group after that. That unification of America happened among those 13 colonies. And finally, of course, in 1774 and 75, 76, they began to come together to form a union together. So that's where our union comes from, and it's the preaching of the Great Awakening.
Thus, the spiritual movement, the Great Awakening, ended up having political impact as well.
We open up our Declaration of Independence by saying this: we hold these truths to be self-evident. Talking about the principles of the Scriptures, the principles of our Judeo-Christian values. They're self-evident. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness.
But today, there are those who want to rewrite our history. One prominent example, promoted by the New York Times and the Pulitzer Organization, is the 1619 Project. It postulates that America's true birth was in 1619, when the first black slaves were brought to America. America's racism, claims the 1619 Project, now beginning to be taught in our schools, is in our national DNA.
When you have a position to where you're revising history, where America is always the big bad wolf, America is always the enemy, that you cannot see any good in America, it results in a populace that is primed to embrace socialism. The economics that have underpinned the United States of America has been one of the greatest agents for lifting people out of poverty globally. This is a fact. And others who would say that, you know, the United States wouldn't be what it is today without slavery, I would simply respond by saying, well, the fact is that the majority of people who were kidnapped from Africa and brought to a new world in slavery wasn't the United States of America. You had more slaves brought to Brazil than there were brought to America. So why isn't Brazil what America is today if slavery is the only thing that caused America to be what she is today?
It's very problematic because a lot of our young people are being taught that America is an evil country. It's an oppressive country. And that is not true American history. The remarkable thing about America is that it had an Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery has been throughout mankind's history. And so slavery was not original to America, but what was original was that America had an Emancipation Proclamation. Young people today are told that if they are born, you know, with a particular skin color, that America is such an oppressive country that they are a victim. And it's nothing but critical race theory that paints whites as the oppressors and blacks as the victims. And it's not a true American history.
And I think it brings to fruition what the scripture says, that in a certain day that they will call good evil, and they will call bad good.
The battle over history is ultimately a battle over America itself. Christians showing up in large numbers and voting their biblical values can help play a key role in this battle.
We know that when a nation has godly leaders, God said, I'm going to bless it. But when it's ungodly leaders, God said, well, you're on your own. We know what that means. So as we look at the coming elections, we must look at things like, how does it stack up against the dignity of human life? But God made them, and so that respect and dignity for the dignity of human life. And if a politician or a party is in question about the abortion or in question about the dignity of human life, of course, it would be a sin to vote for them. Well, the greatest attack we have these days against our happiness is socialism. Because socialism, of course, the twin sister of communism, that everything's going to be free. Of course, nothing in life is free. It's amazing how fast evil moves. And if 10 years ago we were sitting here talking about socialism, you'd say, no, there could never be a candidate in America who is socialist. Oh, yes, there is. So in times like that, what does God do? He raises up his children, what? To do what they should do. And that's stand against it, preach against it, vote against it. Voting is very important. Some people say, well, I'm not going to vote because I don't like either candidate. Well, you do vote one way or another. If you don't vote for the one who is the most like your Christian faith, you have voted for the one that is least like your Christian faith.
In fact, according to Dr. Lee, if Christians neglect to pray and vote and work for American renewal, ultimately freedom itself is at stake.
If we don't have a nation that is free, a nation that is open, we have the freedom of speech and all, people will die without Christ, God's Son, because we would be muted. And around the world, there are people in every nation in the world today that where people are hearing the gospel and getting Bibles. I mean, nation, and where are they getting them from? People in America who have the freedom to do that. If that shuts down, a world of evangelization shuts down. And we know that's not preaching to God.
As you have just seen, there is indeed hope for America. With God, all things are possible. And yet something is also required of us, because there is a war underway for the soul of America. It is not a war to be fought with violence. As the Apostle Paul writes, we are not waging war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. This is a spiritual war, and Dr. Kennedy challenges us to enlist in this portion of his address delivered to the Center for Christian Statesmanship, The Greatest Struggle.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th president of these United States, said, as we all know very well, that 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation. And here you will notice that he compared, metaphorically, this nation to the begetting of a child, a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal and that we have been endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, today, we are also engaged in a great civil war. It's not a war with bullets and bayonets, but it is a moral and spiritual war that we're engaged in. The question now is not whether or not a nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. It's not a nation where we're having to decide whether all men are created equal. It is a war where we're trying to decide whether all men have been created at all. And there are many forces within this country today that would be very happy if we could remove those words from our declaration. There are some schools that won't let the declaration be displayed or read in classroom, because it does attribute our rights to a power greater than the state and does declare that we have been created. So that in history class, our students are taught that they have been created by a God who has given them rights. And in science class, they are told that they have evolved out of a primordial slime from some amoeba that has given us no rights at all. And keep in mind that every time you hear about students being taught that we have evolved, you are hearing the sawing away of the foundations of this nation and the source of our inalienable rights. If we have been merely evolved from the slime, we have no inalienable rights. And the only rights we have at all, which are certainly not inalienable, are those which the government should decide to give to us, and which the government may decide at its own whim to take away as well. So we are engaged in a great spiritual war. It is a war literally for the soul of America. And it's indeed a very worthwhile fight to be in. Goethe said that the greatest struggle and the only struggle worthy of our participation in this entire world is the struggle between faith and unbelief. And that is the struggle that we are in today. Well, what can we do? We can, of course, exercise our vote. And it's sad that there are many Christians that don't even bother to vote. They ought to. And you know, I think 100 years ago, a Christian, a dedicated Christian, could vote easily, just as easily for one party as another, I should think. But that is getting difficult to do. Why? Because the government in recent decades has more and more obtruded itself into the realm of the church. The government is more and more getting into all kinds of religious matters like this, which used to be entirely the prerogative of the church. Just for example, the matter of abortion. The church declared itself that God is opposed to killing the innocent. They never questioned for a moment that the baby was a baby in the womb or outside it. In fact, the same Greek word, brephos, is used, whether the baby is born or unborn. And that the slaying of the innocent is something that God will punish. And now the government has simply come in, placed their imprimatur upon it, and said it's perfectly legal, and therefore most people say it must be perfectly all right. Now, who is obtruding upon whose turf? It is the government obtruding itself into the realm of the spiritual and the moral. We need to choose people and parties that take their stands on biblical morality upon which this country was built. John Adams said it would be impossible to govern without God and the Ten Commandments. George Washington said it would be impossible to govern without God and the Bible. Well, not according to the modern gurus of unbelief. It's quite possible as far as they're concerned. More than that, we ought to be engaged, and your churches ought to be engaged in winning people to Jesus Christ. May I say, the last thing Christ said was to go and make disciples of all nations. And because of the fact that the church as a whole en masse has largely ignored and disobeyed that commandment, that we're in the mess that we're in. We have allowed unbelievers to multiply in our midst enormously, and consequently, we see all of these ungodly things that are going on, which grieve us. Well, if we had been there to win those people to Christ, they would be on our side, and they would not be the people that we're struggling against. And I'm going to tell you this in case you don't know it. In spite of everything that we see, we're actually winning the battle. You say, well, when I read the paper, it doesn't look that way. When I read the paper, it doesn't look that way to me either. But thank God that I don't get all my information from the newspaper. we're going to see a major sea change in this country, and morality and decency and spirituality are going to come back into vogue in America. Father, we pray that you'll bring it to pass, Lord. We are not prophets. We can only look and see what is happening and what thou art doing, but we are encouraged by that. Help us to be a part of the solution and not merely bystanders that are sitting in the bleachers, but let us get out into the field and be engaged in the greatest struggle in all of the world between faith and unbelief. In Jesus' name, amen.
As Dr. Kennedy just shared with us, we are engaged in a battle for America's soul. It's a battle we fight with spiritual weapons rather than physical ones. And it's a battle we fight by faith and not by sight. To watch the news media and listen to the national discussion they put forward, you might get the idea that the battle is lost and that we should retreat within the walls of the church for safety. But that is simply not true. The battle is still before us. And we have a powerful book to share with you to encourage and motivate you in America's spiritual struggle, one that gives us a battle plan for moving forward. It's the new book, The Battle for the Soul of America and How Christians Can Win It, by my very good friend, Dr. Richard Lee. Dr. Lee was also a personal friend of Dr. Kennedy, and he continues to be on the forefront of reminding America of her true Christian history and calling her back to faithfulness. In this vital book, you will discover what God expects from Christians in America, and you will learn how your voice and your vote really do matter. We will send you The Battle for the Soul of America by Dr. Richard Lee as our thanks for your generous donation to help us proclaim truth and defend freedom at this time of crisis in our great nation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. This hard-hitting expose will open your eyes to our nation's slide into disobedience and disunity, but also to how we as God's people can be the greatest force for good this world has yet to see. And if you are able to give a generous donation of $50 or more, we will send you The Battle for the Soul of America, plus the 7-DVD set, How Should We Then Vote? In these practical and powerful Bible-based messages, Dr. Kennedy takes you one by one through the key moral issues on which Bible-based believers should cast their votes this November. In confusing times, you will want the bracing refreshment of Dr. Kennedy's clear biblical teaching on these issues, and you will want to share them with others as the election approaches. We will thank you for your generous donation by sending you Richard Lee's vital book, The Battle for the Soul of America, and we will also include the 7-DVD set from Dr. Kennedy, How Should We Then Vote? As our thanks for your generous donation of $50 or more. And as you donate, you will be helping us to produce and air hard-hitting, light-shining biblical television programming at the most strategic possible moment. So please, contact us right away. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Voting is a sacred privilege in America, secured for us through the blood of millions of patriots poured out over the centuries. And that sacred privilege faces a momentous test in the forthcoming national elections. But we all need to understand that there is a vast media apparatus in America whose design is to discourage you into apathy. They want you to believe that the election is already over, that public opinion is overwhelming, and that you are about the only person in America who believes as you do. But none of this is true. At this exact time, 4 years ago, the polls said exactly the same thing, and they turned out to be wildly, historically wrong. As we have been locked up in our homes for the better part of 5+ months now, the media has shifted into overdrive, blurring the line between opinion and news gathering, and deluging us with a relentlessly negative flood of discouraging news. But the vast majority of media organizations in America have become little more than water carriers for the extreme left. They have shorn themselves of any pretense of objectivity in an effort to influence the 2020 election. The thing that they are most afraid of is that you will go out and vote anyway. Our namesake, Dr. D. James Kennedy, was not shy about this. He noted that Jesus' admonition to render unto Caesar what belonged to him includes, at the very least, the obligation to vote. So much so that Dr. Kennedy said, and I quote, "For you as a Christian American citizen, to fail to register and vote is a sin against God." Wow. So be prepared, come November, to do the one thing the left hopes you will not do: stand for truth and defend freedom at your local polling place. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Today, the only group which you can hold up to public mockery and pillaring are Christians.
Every means of communication is going to be used to communicate truth and to communicate falsehood. Those two are always going to be in contest with each other.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.